We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Montana State Athletics Bobcat Insider Podcast. This is your home for all things Montana State Athletics.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Bobcat Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Mackey, the Rocking Art Bar, our presenting sponsor of our Bobcat Insider Podcast that you can find on just about any platform out there. Anywhere that podcasts are available, subscribe to the Bobcat Insider to get it directly onto your phone each week. This week's guest, Tricia Binford, joins the program and joins it after an exciting week. Any of you that have been following college athletics knew that the Division I Council is coming down with their ruling on what exactly was going to happen for college athletics when it came to football, basketball, and some of those other question marks that still needed answers to them. And we found out from that crew this week that basketball now has a definite start date, November 25th. A lot of excitement around college basketball and all the fans out there who now know an exact date. There was talk that maybe the season wouldn't start until January 1st, the start of the new year. It was originally slated back, obviously, a year ago that this season would start at the beginning of November. Now, granted, it's going to be pushed back a couple of weeks. And what this does is there will be no students on campus from that Thanksgiving break all the way until they come back for the second semester. So there will be a couple-month period where just the basketball guys, almost a mini bubble, kind of like the NBA and the WNBA have been able to successfully do, will happen at universities throughout the country. You'll hear from Coach Tricia Binford. A lot of those non-conference games are still going to be slated that went in December. Some of the early ones in November might be pushed back some. There's still going to be questions. Everyone's working hard to get a schedule together. And again, that will come out in the beginning and next couple of weeks. The recruiting dead period was extended. No recruiting for any of those coaches to be able to get off campus and recruit. And another big one for Montana State is we've seen the Big Ten, the Pac-12, even the Mountain West are talking right now. The Big Ten solidified it. They're playing this fall. The Pac-12 and the Mountain West are still in talks. But we found out that the FCS playoffs has been moved to April and May of the springtime. So it gives Montana State a chance to be able to compete not only for a conference championship, but for a national championship. It's going to look a little bit different from April 18th to May 15th is when that tournament's going to run, and it's going to be sliced down from 24 teams down to 16 teams. So a little bit of a different look for FCS football, but yet there is a chance still to be able to play for a national title. When the Big Sky season is going to start, how football is going to look in the spring, that all is still going to be determined. It's still a lot of question marks, but a good week for sports this week where we got some of those answers for college athletics and some other conferences joined in the mix of fall sports. We'd like to remind you that Bobcat friends and fans keep up to date with all the latest in Bobcat gear promotions. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/MSU Gear Up. And Montana State University is the number one public university in Montana, according to Forbes' list of America's top colleges. Learn more at montana.edu. Also pleased to announce this week's faculty most valuable professor. And this week, it's Maida Newhouse. I'm Zach Mackey, and I'd like to introduce this week's most valuable professor. Maida Newhouse, our professor of graphic design and the director of the Diesel program at Montana State University in Bozeman. Professor, what is Diesel, the design sandbox for engaged learning?
Diesel is a campus-wide initiative that offers more interdisciplinary learning opportunities for students. Most courses focus on using human-centered design thinking to solve real-world problems.
What kind of projects have your students undertaken in the design sandbox for engaged learning?
Well, right now we're offering a hemp innovation class, and Montana is in a prime spot to innovate with this fascinating plant. In this class, students work to invent new ways for hemp fiber, seeds, leaves, and other plant parts to be converted into cool new products. Everything from biodegradable weed whacker wire to antimicrobial bike seat covers are possibilities.
And Professor Newhouse, one of your areas of expertise is guerrilla advertising. What is that, and how do you engage students in the learning of it?
Well, guerrilla advertising is messaging that turns up in non-traditional spaces, like the veggie section of a grocery store or inside your water bottle. Students get into the guerrilla mindset with exercises that train them to become more observant of the world around them. They are able to reverse engineer great ideas when they learn to see opportunities everywhere they look. My book, Guerrilla Thinking for Designers, will come out in 2022, so hopefully your listeners can also give it a try. I'm Maida Newhouse, professor of graphic design at Montana State University in Bozeman. Go Bobcats!
So we already talked about it, a good week for college athletics, college basketball, a lot of happy coaches, and here's one of them, Coach Tricia Binford, the head coach for the Montana State women's program. Welcome you back here on the Bobcat Insiders. We're now joined with the head coach of Montana State women's basketball, Coach Tricia Binford. Coach, thanks so much for being here.
It's great to be here, Zach.
Coach, you know, the global pandemic, COVID-19, has put a strain on everything. It's changed the course of a lot of things over the last 6 months. What's your team been doing maybe during this time period, as I know school's now underway and everything, but during the summer leading up, what different things maybe has your team done that's different than in years past and that they've been able to get through throughout this summer?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think it goes back to your ability to adapt. And first of all, I just want to say our hearts go out to everybody that's been impacted in this. It's just impacted everybody in some way. But it really started with how do we even get them back for summer school? And that in itself was extremely challenging, you know, when this whole thing happened and we bust back from the tournament, you have the emotional piece of an unfinished season that was a historic season for us, and then it was kind of just getting closure on that and next step on what the NCAA is going to start doing, what we need to do as a university to make this safe for them to return. So that was really complex, and I want to first, I'm so thankful we have Bozeman Health here as a partner for us on campus to and in the field house to help us get that protocol started when we did. I felt like we were so far ahead of what a lot of other places were able to do because of that partnership being in the field house. And then our athletic department, our administrators, our trainers, every single person just kind of rolled up their sleeves. What do we need to do to figure this out and get this done? So it's really started with upperclassmen, what that looked like for the return, And then we started navigating what it looked like for the freshman class, which was a whole nother challenge with the dorms initially not being available, with still getting some things out from the spring semester. So beginning with the returners, we actually had them come in quite early to do that 14-day quarantine. And that was pretty much all of them back mid-May, and first workouts were approved as voluntary by the NCAA kind of at the last minute. And that has been maybe one of the challenges, is just really trying to make some decisions with not a lot in front to prepare. And so that protocol at the beginning of June was what that transition was going to look like, with which sports and working small numbers to keep everybody safe in the weight room and in gyms and that sort of thing. And so we started very slowly. I think that is going to be another challenge as we get into season on the buildup timeframe, because I've been paying a lot of attention to the WNBA and the NBA bubbles, and some injuries have popped up, and we've got to do a great job on progressing our athletes the right way. But we just had great protocol in place on what it looks like to come into the building, what it looks like to have equipment cleaned in and out, when we wear our masks, what social distancing looks like on the court. And so the mantra has been what we can do and not what we can't do. So we were able to get shots up in June, and that's probably as far as we're able to progress. It was one at a basket initially, and then we got to multiple kids being able to pass. And then once the coaches were approved to get on the court, and we were able to get our freshmen into, I think it was the family housing here in the dorms, very late, but we got them here the end of July. They did their quarantine, and I think it was mid-July when coaches were able to just get on the floor with them. And that, for me, I don't know, for, you know, everybody's got their story of just, hey, what a, you know, it's kind of the little things. There's one of my favorite movies is What About Bob, about baby steps. But I'm like, baby steps right now for all of us, I think, are really important to have just some short-term goals, some things we can get excited about in a very difficult time that's going to potentially be very different the next day, depending what gets thrown at us. So just even that first day to get on the court with the kids was extremely gratifying. Did it look extremely different? Yes. So one of our adjustments was what that looks like for us to be in masks and be spaced. And so just adjusting a lot of our drills, as we still have yet to do anything in contact format. So, you know, that's been actually really beneficial. We've kind of taken the fundamental approach of let's work on a lot of footwork and a lot of shots and a lot of ball handling, and just building up that way. I'm so thankful for, we just have a phenomenal trainer. We have a phenomenal strength coach, and the staff has just kind of hit the ground running. We've hired two coaches in this whole deal of the pandemic, and it looks completely different. So I apologize daily for my two new assistants and Sunny just picking up so much slack, but their experience for their first year has pretty much changed every day. So they're just doing a great job, and the kids have been locked in. I've just been extremely proud of how they've responded today every day. If it looks different the next week, but it's progressing and it's getting better. And I thought the other short-term goal that was amazing was getting the students back here at the start of the semester and getting kids on campus and walking around. It felt as normal as things have felt since this all began. And we're slowly getting to do a few more things on the court. So we're grateful. We're grateful for our partnership, and we're just grateful for amazing people here, Zach.
Yeah, Coach, you talk about continuing to move forward and get those little progressions. One of the big progressions yesterday was when the Division I Council came out and said that basketball at the Division I level will be starting on November 25th, will be the first day of competition. That moves it back a couple of weeks from originally slated, but yet when you look at maybe 2 months ago, you might have had a totally different outcome. It's got to be kind of a happy day today and yesterday after figuring out that you got that set time, and now it's kind of trying to build the schedule around it a little bit.
Well, I mean, if you even think about when, you know, some of us picked up the our first basketball, and we shot in our backyard. The game of basketball for so many of us is just getting to a hoop, and it lets you kind of get away from, some of the difficulties that everybody's going through. It's one of those serene places to be. And so for us, it was, what a chance and opportunity to get on the court, and just have some joy in that in itself. Obviously, we're going to be searching for another title here, but that initially was being discussed of a start date in January. And I thought that was going to be really challenging of how do you keep them motivated for such a long gap to that first day when we did bring them back for summer. Not a lot of hours during the summer. I mean, we only got 4 hours on the court with them. And this build-up progression that we're going to start next week is allowed up to 8, but we're going to go into 6 and then 8. And then eventually October 14th is when you can go into the full mode there. But November 25th is kind of your next step. And what I thought was great about that decision is it's really keeping the safety of the student athletes also in the mindset, because my concern with the startup of January 1st is that not only was it super late, you'd probably have to cut your season in half, but you also miss an opportunity to be playing a lot of basketball when not a lot of people are around. So with so many universities, concluding right before Thanksgiving break, we were just the whole time thinking, what an opportunity to not have a traditional bubble look, but definitely a concept where you can have some really solid protocol with students not being on campus and get some potentially great competition in.
Coach, you get that date, and obviously things have changed, things continue to change. What's it look like, and what's the process of trying to get a schedule together a little bit with non-conference? Obviously, you guys went to Puerto Rico last year. You're not going to be able to leave the country throughout November this year, but how has that process been? And I'm sure it's in the works already.
Well, I tell you what, it's curveballs every day for sure. There's been a lot of discussion. Sunny oversees our scheduling, preseason schedule. And fortunately for us, it sounds like the conference schedule is going to probably stay the same. They had moved it to that 16-game format. And with this adjustment with the start date of November 25th, you're basically going to be cutting off 4 games from your schedule. So really, we're hoping with all the conversations that we're having currently today after the news yesterday, we're just trying to solidify the games we had scheduled in December stay. And what that means is everybody able to do those same protocols of COVID testing before you go into your game for that particular week. So you've got to look at those things and does that work for everybody on that schedule? And then you look at the games that you had in November, which ones can we move in and what are we going to have to cut out? So you're looking at what contracts need to stick, what contracts will be voided and rescheduled from November. So that becomes a little bit complex for us because everybody's going to have different information. So one of the things even Sunny was saying this morning, she was talking, we had a road trip planned right after Thanksgiving to California. So we're in conversations of where are you at? Montana, we've had very low numbers of cases, and that's the only schedule we have currently in the preseason. That's a flight for us. I would prefer to try to keep as close to home as possible from that perspective, but if great protocols in place and they can do it, then that would really be great competition for us. But there's discussions of some of those people that were scheduled around that tournament or in that tournament that might be doing their own bubble concepts. So are those schools going to be removed off the schedule? So tricky things. Everybody's doing a little bit of different take on this. We have a Pac-12 opponent on our schedule, University of Utah, that is still trying to work to make that game happen. But the Pac-12 has made some of the Pac-12 decisions a little bit differently than the NCAA. So we're all trying to navigate that, working with what conferences are doing. But I think it's not going to be as challenging as what it initially could have been with the conference being able to stay. And really, you're just looking at clearing off of most of November's scheduling board and seeing just a couple fixes in that December calendar.
Coach, you mentioned it early on, too. You've been doing all this with the COVID-19 pandemic, everything that's come up, while getting a brand new staff in place as well, with a couple of brand new assistant coaches, a couple of former players in that role, too, and Blair Braxton and Jeff Golden, also one of the assistant coaches. I'm sure it has not been an easy time during the pandemic then trying to put a staff and solidify all that together as well.
I guess I would say the best part about if you're trying to find silver linings is we definitely had the time to find the right people. And I certainly feel Coach Smallwood and I going through the process thinking of what we're going to be the perfect needs and fits for this team. I feel like we've hit a home run there. So we did our due diligence going through that process and was really thankful we were able to get them both hired during that hiring freeze. And the other thing is we weren't able to do summer camps. You know, typically the time frame we did hire them, we would be trying to get some camps up and running, which would have been a very difficult thing to do to keeping those kids all safe as well. As a university, we made the decision that was not the time to do that. So we removed that off of their plate. And then we weren't able to go out and recruit. You know, July for us is typically a month that we're on the road. And Sunny and I kind of joke, like, I've been doing this about 20 years. She's been doing it a lot longer than I have. And we couldn't remember the last time we weren't on the road in July. And so that was quite unusual, but it allowed us time to really work as a staff on, you know, philosophically, the things that we're about, the things that we're doing in some workouts and incorporating those things in and just getting them trained in some of those areas. Blair Braxton, it's just been such a simple transition. I shouldn't say simple, but the young lady is just, she's been crushing it of everything we've thrown at her. And one of the reasons why we wanted her on the staff is she's lived the life of a Bobcat and knows exactly what it means to be a champion in blue and gold. And so for the things that we're talking and even terminology, she's just like hit the ground running because she's ran every drill. She knows what our system is and she understands the university. And then Coach Golden, like I'm already learning so much of just some tremendous drills and things that he's been able to bring to the table for practices because he's kind of the coaching clinic there himself. And so that's been really fun.
Coach, also recently you just got done with a virtual banquet. Who would have thought 6 months ago we'd be in the process of doing a virtual banquet? But again, with the pandemic and everything, you wanted, I know, to be able to honor these players. It was kind of a neat event with everything put in together. Can you just kind of talk us through how that all went about and kind of a nice way to be able to honor those seniors and a historic season?
Yeah, once again, Zach, just a lot of adapting to what we thought it could potentially look like to what it ended up being, and just so many people stepping up in to make it really special. And the biggest thing for it was to make sure we had closure on one of the best seasons, if not the best season, I should say, one of the best seasons in Bobcat history, and we wanted to get closure, particularly for that senior class. But you know, that date that we had set was typically, it was first aligned with the gold rush. You know, we set that out once kids were, May was concluding and there was not going to be a possibility of doing anything at that point. We just, you know, made the decision to put it in front of the gold rush because that would be a time where everybody could be able to get back, but also potentially be able to recognize the team at the Gold Rush game with rings in and all kinds of things. And eventually the Gold Rush was off the table. And so then it became, okay, how are we going to make this work with a combination of factors? And so, you know, Rainey with the Bobcat Club just was tremendously impactful of some organizational things. You know, Jack Murray with our video and Dawson just creating a pretty special highlight video. But Jack really put together the entire virtual part for us to make that happen for our boosters or fans, any parents that couldn't make it. And So there was a lot of people that stepped up. The staff obviously did some great things there as well. In our administration, of just being supportive of what it needed to look like, to be able to celebrate them. And, you know, it was very different. And I'm not used to talking into like a screen or a picture, but we wanted to have some great closure. I thought we were able to do that.
Coach, what made that group, you think, so special and so successful on the court, off the court? It just, you know, I know throughout the season last year you talked about the bond that group had, and obviously the success on the court showed. What made them so special?
Well, you can't say just one thing. I think when you look at when you're able to bring out the best in everybody, it's a combination of factors. And the Puerto Rico trip definitely had an impact on how close this team got to be, and the chemistry that they were able to build. I thought that was a really important trip for us. I thought the preseason schedule in general challenged this team on what they're capable of performing at on a daily basis. But I also even want to back up to the summer. We really, you know, started with a ton of experience returning that were able to just kind of set the tone for what practices look like on a daily basis. Not a lot of learning and teaching, but just sharpening the saw, so to speak. And then we just brought in some additional pieces that fit some needs to take us to even a higher level. You know, Fallon Frege was a kid that came in and was just a tremendous leader from the start. I mean, her first practice the year that she was sitting out, I mean, the gym just got louder. You know, her communication, her ability to be intense and compete at the highest of levels, her work ethic, her first in the gym, last to leave mentality, but also just really about this team in general. She was a tremendous piece. And obviously I could go through that entire senior class with their experience and their leadership. I mean, when you have the chance to get teaching done by peers, where the coaches have not been completely removed, so to speak, but it's been introduced into that class that now is setting the tone every day. I'm like, that's where greatness starts to happen. So we had those things. And then you have a freshman class coming in that from a competitive standpoint, earning the respect of their upperclassmen. I mean, you know, Darian was a really special player, but also, or is, I should say, the rest of that freshman class, you've got kids that are just hooked and they're all in. And so the talent speaks for itself, but when you can put talent on the floor and it doesn't care who gets the credit, I think that's what this team was like every day. We had different leading scores. We had tremendous balance. But we also, this team won it every day in practice. I mean, the coaching staff knew it in the summer, Zach. Like, the way they competed on a daily basis was at, you know, that's where you hit your home runs and you're going to win your championships, because they hated to lose. They wanted to make each other better, but they loved each other the right way. And the last thing I'll say on that is, going back to your experience in that combination, was the fact that they knew how to prepare. You know, a lot of teams can be pretty darn good on a given night, but to be able to repeat that with a bullseye on your back every single day takes a level of maturity, mental toughness, and ability to know how to prepare. So that's where you go into your nutritionist. That's where you go into your weight room, how it gives you the endurance, your ability to find ways to win on the road, our trainer's ability to keep these kids healthy all year. You got to have a lot of things go right, but there was a lot of intentionality on that. And I've never coached a team that went undefeated on the road ever. And that was like an unbelievable stat that this team was able to accomplish.
Coach, I know you've talked about it in the past, and, you know, other coaches throughout those winter sports that were canceled towards the end and had to be shut down. A lot of people said, you know, it was the hardest thing I had to do. It was so hard to have to tell the team this situation. I've got to imagine, and I know you've talked about it in the past, but that it's almost even another level whenever you're in this situation, like your team having one of the most historic seasons all time. Really, I mean, right in line to get an NCAA bid to go on to compete for a national championship, to win a regular season and a conference tournament title, you know, all right within grasp, just a couple of inches away. And then to see it shut down like that, it's got to be even a bit harder when you're in that type of a situation.
Well, for sure. And we certainly don't want to undervalue the people that have been impacted. Obviously, this was a very serious virus, and we want absolutely respect that. But it definitely doesn't change the fact of just the emotion in that room when we had to have that conversation. You know, when you think about just being all in, just the hours of what you're building up to in that final moment, it was almost like the way I try to describe it, it was almost like the entire team had a season-ending injury right in that one moment when everything was going to that next step. And, you know, particularly for even as schools that had that one bid to get to the NCAA tournament, you got to win the Big Sky tournament. You know, there's you at our level, being mid-major, you've got to be consistent at a whole nother level, because you've got to get some RPI strength of scheduling in your corner in your preseason scheduling. But you could go undefeated in your conference and then lose the first round of the tournament and maybe not move on. And so just that ability to continue doing it. And we had that one game that it's probably going to sit there. And for some of these young ladies, it might sit there, unfortunately, for a little bit of their life. But one of the things that we took away that we had peace on was that we were able to celebrate our last game with our president, our athletic director. I mean, our president sprinted into the locker room. We were celebrating in that semifinal right before going into the championship game. And the kids had a heck of a ride with an amazing journey and building relationships and truly having a great time along the way. I've heard of seasons and teams where that journey has been miserable. And I can certainly tell you this team had so much fun and such a fun team to coach. And so I think we're trying to get our mindset on that for sure. But I will tell you that was a numb moment for me, just kind of in shock having to give that information to them.
Well, Coach, positive news this week. Season starting up November 25th. We look forward here to the future and upcoming. Thanks so much for coming on here this week.
Well, I appreciate it, Zach. I think the fans are going to be as excited as we are, and we've got some tremendous leadership brewing in these returners. I know we've got some heck of a freshman class too that's fitting right in. So they're going to need to get our roster and learn some names, because this group's going to win some Bobcats over very fast.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Coach.
Thanks a lot, Zach. Appreciate it.
Well, good news for the basketball community and a little bit of guidance coming down to FCS football as to when things will happen and a definite start date for that basketball season. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us this week. We'll be back next Thursday with more interviews coming your way from the Athletic Department of Montana State. For the Bobcat Insider, everyone helping us out, I'm Zach Mackey saying so long until next time.
You've been listening to the Bobcat Insider. Be sure to stay up to date with all things Montana State Athletics by visiting msubobcats.com and by following the Cats on social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle MSUBobcats. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bobcats Sports Network.